When it's hot outside, it's nice to have air conditioning inside, right? Well, yes and no. My colleague Carolyn Beeler here in the newsroom has a beef with the AC. She's on the world's environment desk.
I do have a beef with air conditioning, and it's mostly that all summer while it's hot outside, I am generally freezing indoors in air-conditioned spaces, especially here in the newsroom. I always have a sweater on the back of my chair, and I'm going to show you, I busted out my boots again,
Like dead of winter boots.
Yeah, pulled them out of the closet. I'm not alone in this. A lot of people are cold in their offices, but I know that by definition, this is a first world problem. There are a lot of places in the world where temperatures get dangerously hot and people can't afford or don't have access to air conditioning. So I get that. But I feel like my dislike of air conditioning at some times is somewhat justified because air conditioning just is not great for the environment.
Well, I feel your pain here in the newsroom, which feels sometimes like a meat locker. Remind us, though, why ACs especially are such a disaster for the environment.
The first thing is the refrigerant that is in air conditioning, hydrofluorocarbons, is almost 2,000 times worse for the climate than carbon dioxide. And air conditioning just uses a lot of electricity, which we generally get by burning fossil fuels.
So how big a contributor is air conditioning to climate change, like right now?
Right now, it's not a huge part of the climate change puzzle, but that's largely because many people in the hottest parts of the world can't afford air conditioning. But that's quickly changing. And I have a crazy statistic that I want to share with you. Around the mid-90s, something like 5% of urban Chinese households had air conditioning. By 2012, something like 120% of urban Chinese households had air conditioning, meaning there were more than one air conditioner units in a lot of households.
Gotcha. I was scratching my head.
Yeah. So a lot of experts think places like India are about to follow the same trajectory. So if this proliferation of AC goes on unchecked, hydrofluorocarbons alone could be something like 1/5 of the whole world's greenhouse gas emissions.
But I gather something happened this week that made you rethink your beef with air conditioning just a little bit, and that's what you want to tell us about.
Yes, I had a minor air conditioning epiphany, if epiphanies can be minor. It was this study out of the Lawrence Berkeley National Laboratory in California that highlighted this idea that if we sort of improve or fix our air conditioning, it could prevent something like 1 degree of global warming by the end of the century, which is a pretty big deal.
And how do they suggest we do that? Just like set our thermostats higher?
I wish, Marco, but no. The first thing is phasing out hydrofluorocarbons, those potent greenhouse gases, which nearly 200 countries have already said that they are going to do. They said that last year, and we've talked about that on the show before. But importantly, also, while that transition is happening, also transitioning to much more energy-efficient technology for air conditioners. Now, some of this technology is on the market. These are not foregone conclusions that these transitions are going to happen. But the researchers who wrote this study really wanted to highlight the opportunity that efficiency presents rather than other things like driving electric cars. So this week was the week that I started seeing air conditioning not just as the foe of cold office workers everywhere, but providing a potential opportunity in the fight against climate change.
Carolyn Beeler covers the environment for us here at The World, usually while wearing at least one sweater. Carolyn, thanks a lot.
Thanks, Marco.